www.bchydro.com. This message brought to you by BC Hydro and CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then we'll begin.
Hello, everybody in Whitecaps land. You're listening to the AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio, broadcasting from University of British Columbia on the unceded Musqueam Territory. You can listen to us live on CITR 101.9 or online at citr.ca. For those who are listening to the podcast, this is episode 190. And today, we're joined by...
Jay Duke. Hello, hello.
And Zachary Adam Eisenhammer.
And my name is Steve Pander. And as you can tell, there is somebody missing. He's enjoying the coast right now.
The wet, rainy, cold.
Yeah, he was tweeted out that it was raining sideways.
Yeah.
Bailey was enjoying it, but not him. he obviously is pumping money into the economy of the Timbers while everybody else is back here working. But to go over the game yesterday... tough loss, a 2-1 loss to the Portland Timbers after, you know, getting that 2-1 victory the week before over Middle Cascadia. Let's just jump right into it, guys. What are you guys' overall thoughts on the game?
I found it was actually kind of interesting because the game was sort of similar to the Seattle game in a way, in that, you know, the away team came and played fairly well, probably deserved, at least a point. And on a different day, could have come away with all 3 points, and then the cherry on the top of that was a former player scoring a goal to win the game. So it was kind of a funny mirror image of the game that we had against the Sounders. You know, all things considered, I there was definitely some positives to take out of that match, and one of the big ones for me is that I think Carl Robinson took a clever tactical approach to the game and changed up his system a little to try and deal with what is one of the, if not the strongest midfields in the MLS. Unfortunately, what that means is that we have three generally kind of static central midfielders in the middle of the park. But it did do its job for the most part, other than a couple moments of brilliance on the part of Portland early in the game to really seal the victory early.
Yeah, I know. And I think overall you got to think of this game as, especially the first half. I thought it was a decent to good first half for the Whitecaps. I don't think they played horribly, but they were punished for the couple mistakes they had in there. And like you said, moments of brilliance by especially Darlington Nagbe. That first goal was just unbelievable shot. Yeah. From the distance it went in.
The angle that his body was at to take the shot was...
Curling over, just hitting the post to go in. Zach, you were there at the game. I don't know if you watched it or you had your back turned to the game.
I saw bits. I saw the goal. I did see the goal. Or I didn't see the build-up to the goal, but I saw the shot. I saw it hit the underside of the bar there and heartbreakingly see it go down and in. Yeah, I think it was interesting. Talking about, I know formation, we like to talk about it a lot. People like to talk about it a lot. They like to dissect it a lot. They like to anticipate it a lot. And I think, yeah, when we were standing there in the section in 223 and someone got it on their phone, oh, this is what it is. My first thought was, This looks very similar to the 0-0 cup match where we had three holding midfielders where Gersh pushed forward as the 10 and we were looking to keep a clean sheet. So I felt, even though the person who showed it to me, it would look like a 4-3-3 on their phone. But the other thing in talking, I think this was your perspective as well, Steve, was that it looked a little bit to mirror what Kansas City had done the week before in terms of how they set themselves up going into the match against Portland. So it looked like we were trying to – in the analysis of what happened in the previous match, our coaching staff said, this seemed to work. Let's see if we can put our own spin on it or play it in our own kind of way.
Yeah, definitely. And the one thing I thought about, you know, after the first half, they were able to come out of it 2-0. Maddox scored the second goal. I think he was just lucky to just have it bounce off his legs and not go sideways or anything like that. He had his legs positioned perfectly.
It was a perfect cross, too. Yeah, like that cross was just...
I think it was a team goal that it was an easy... I think it was his first goal of the season this year.
So. Yeah. I believe so, yeah.
Nice little, was like a shake and bake celebration.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he wasn't sure if he should celebrate or not, maybe.
No.
He was sure?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. No, because he did it and then kind of stopped and then kind of, he's like, yeah, I'm doing this again. And he did it again.
He's not sure if he's going to score again this year. That's maybe what he's thinking
but
about.
But I don't know if this was, out in the ether or the social media or whatever. The other thing, not only did he celebrate the goal after the match, when the Caps were coming over to the away supporters, he came over as well to like thank the away supporters and like clap the away supporters, which I think some people were like, okay, cool, whatever. And I think other people were not super impressed.
Well, how were the Timbers Army reacting to that?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't looked on social media. I don't think they would care.
They won, obviously, so it doesn't make if he clapped for them if they lost, then it would have been different.
Well, I think he then went and collected his log to put in his home or locker or
I doubt he would have
throw in a forest.
If they had lost 2-1, I doubt Maddox would have came over for a little clap.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and then after the break, they came back this second half. I thought they played way better, especially in the first like 10-15 minutes. And they were rewarded with that goal, too. Bola was taken down in the box. I thought for sure Montero wasn't going to get to that ball when it was saved, but he got it bounced in. And overall, I thought it was a pretty decent second half.
Yeah, we fought back. There was some fight. I know there's lots of questions about substitutions and timing and options coming off the bench. And
the only surprising thing for me on that note was that Jacobson seemed to be the guy who was getting forward and being involved more. So it was a bit awkward that he was the one who was pulled off when Tony Chaney seemed to be off of it. He did not seem to be as nearly involved in the game as Jacobson was.
So what I hear you saying is that you are surprised that the player who makes the least amount of money was taken off first? Is that's what you're saying?
If all you're looking at is what are they producing on the field that game at that moment, I would have liked to see Chaney be brought out for Mesquita or Davies and not Jacobson, who was being a little more involved.
And that's one of the difficult things, right? Because the one end of the spectrum, you say, okay, let's take AG off because he had some chances, he missed them. The other end of the spectrum is he got in some good positions and he had the potential to...
I don't want to pull us too far off track here, but this is my whole issue with kind of how the three-man midfield thing worked, is that this is about expectations. Because you have to temper your expectations when your midfield is three holding midfielders. If your guys getting forward are Laba, Chaney, and Jacobson getting into the box, are you expecting precision strikes once they get there? So as much as I liked the approach by Robinson then there, we should lower our expectations about what happens when those players do succeed and get into those positions in the box, because they are not dynamic attacking players who can really create something amazing in the box.
Yeah. And, I agree with you there. And I think that was one of the bigger problems in the second half. They had good possession, but they couldn't get that final pass in that. And I think it was mostly for the whole game, that final pass in the final third. Couldn't make that connection. Montero was quiet except for the goal on this although he had that really great chance at the I think it was the 77th minute or something like that, when he just made that curl almost into the top corner.
And I thought he held up the ball well for for Jacobson's chance that it was just beyond him. He held up well, played a beautiful lofted ball over the top to Jacobson, who was running to that far post there. So I thought Montero was pretty good that game. I thought
he had his moments, but I think he's the kind of player that's going to be quiet all game until he scores a goal or makes a great play or something like that. But he needs a little bit more support, and I think that you're right there that with two holding midfielders, they're not going to get that. They're not going to get that pass in that final third.
Well, and this goes to I think some of the questioning that people have about how this works, and it goes back to what we were talking about before with formations, right? I forgot to tell this. Michael and we had lunch. Kirk and I had lunch with Michael and Caitlin and Predictive Pooch today, and we were talking about this. And Michael actually said that someone told him that actually really it was a 4-1-4-1 is what they were supposed to be playing.
That's what they were calling it on the. I think I listened to it a bit on the radio. They said that, and then when I got home to finally get it on TV, they were mentioning it too. Okay. That it looked more like a 4-1-4-1 instead of a 4-3-3. And I think maybe that's just the organization they had on the pitch.
So when you talk about that pass in the final third, though, again speaking about the formation, how everything fits together and the tactics is. We had a question about this on Twitter about where Bola is playing. So someone, I think, on Twitter here said, or Joe Deasy on Twitter, cheesy_Deasy, said, I thought the three-man midfield looked great and that the game was conclusive evidence that Bola is a winger more than a center attacking midfielder. Now, my only thought on that would be, as you mentioned, we were missing some of those passes in the final third, which I think Bola has helped or either created himself, made himself, or made us more able to do that from the center when he's been in the center. But when you're on the wing and he's a little more tied to the wing.
It's harder to get involved. Yeah. For sure. Here's the thing. I think Bola plays good whether he plays on the right or in the center of the park. And but it was clearly a decision by Robinson to say, no, we're going to try and gum up the middle here. With three midfielders in the middle and push Bola out wide and give him free rein. On the penalty that he scored, he was down in the middle of the box. So he was clearly still given free rein to move about as he wishes, which I think is probably ideal for him.
Now, one of the things that post-game Robbo talked about, and we're going to get to his audio in a second here, he said he was satisfied with the performance while not getting the good result. So why don't we listen to what he has to say and then we'll come back and talk about it. And see what you guys have to say, because I know one of you really went on Twitter and was a little bit confused about that. So, so right now, we got Carl Robinson, and then after that, Freddie Montero, and we'll come back right after this.
So what's the overriding feeling after that? I had enough chances to at least get a point out of that game.
I think we were the better team. I just said to the guys in there, I can't be disappointed with them because I think they put on a very, very strong performance in a difficult environment. But we didn't take our chances and they took two of the chances. So disappointment because we get no points, but really, really pleased with the performance.
The way that you lost the two goals, especially the first one, a kind of needless giveaway by Bola, is that something you'll revisit with them?
Yeah, it happens sometimes in football. If you look at every goal that you concede, there's always a mistake, usually by one person, two, three, four sometimes, and it was a turnover, but it's a wonderful strike by the boy, Darlington, so you've got to give him credit for that. It's the edge of the box. Sometimes they beat you. Unfortunately, we didn't help by giving the ball away before he struck the ball.
Did you consider changing it up at half-time to try and go with a different line-up or a different formation?
No, nope. I thought we played very well, barring the two goals. If we would have come in at 0-0, I was disappointed we'd come in at 0-0. If we would have been coming at 0-0, because I think we probably had better chances than them in the first half, but we were 2-0 down, and sometimes you've got to accept that, but stick to what you believe. The guys took on board the tactical plan, which was great, and we got back into the game, but we didn't get a bit of luck in the last 15-20 minutes.
Looked like an entirely different player in the second half than he did in the first. Did you talk to him at halftime? Did you motivate him?
I had a quiet word, which is always important.
Do you think part of his first half was having played the last couple of games in the number 10 that he just was out of sorts.
No, some Bola's a top player. Bola can play wherever, whether I play him in central or wide areas. He's, you know, sometimes with wide players, they are exceptional and they have off days. And I think in the first half he had an off half. In the second half he didn't. He was on it. And you know what's important, that when your wide players do have an off day, then someone else steps up to the plate. So Bola responded very well in the second half.
You're thinking about moving him out wide after he'd done pretty well last week in the number 10, played there a couple of games recently.
Just a tactical decision based upon we wanted to try and match them up in the middle of the park with midfield players, and I think it worked. I think, say, they're the most informed team at the moment, or one of the informed teams at the moment, but we've come into their backyard and performed very well. So, you know, Bolo, I wanted Bolo on the field, which is why he played on the left.
Where do you go as a team from here? We've talked this week about this tough stretch in the schedule, and you've begun it with a loss. You're now 2-4-1. Do you feel like there's momentum? Is there any positivity to take from a game that you lose?
Totally. If you look at the performance, I always focus on the performance, and you know, results come. Unfortunately, in professional sports, you have to lose games, and you do lose games. But if you're losing games and not performing well, then that's hard to take. So we performed very well today, but we didn't get anything. So where do we go? We go to Montreal. We roll up our sleeves. We'll be prepared for next week.
What would you consider a good haul from these four road games?
Well, I would say 12 points prior to this, Michael, but that's not going to happen. So I don't know. Listen, you've got to win a couple of away games during the season. So the more you win, it gives you a little bit of leeway at home. You know, we've been a little bit sloppy at home to start the first two games. We've been outstanding the last two games. And we wanted to try and attack this game. And we did attack the game, but we didn't get the bit of luck we needed. So we'll just focus on one game at a time. We'll try and go to Montreal, difficult place to win, a Canadian derby for us. But, you know, it's going to be up and down during the season.
A tough loss out there. You must feel that the team did enough to at least get a point from that one.
Yeah, of course, it's always sad. We were looking forward to get 3 points here, or at least get 1 point. But yeah, at the end of the day, we are happy that we show good soccer today. I think we played really well most of the game. Unfortunately, we couldn't score more than one goal. But I believe that we're going to keep improving, and this team has so much potential to give.
You're no stranger to Cascadia Cup matches. What was it like for you playing against Seattle last week, but then coming into this atmosphere in Portland today?
It's always fun to play this kind of game. I say it before, I'm telling you right now, and I'm happy I keep scoring this kind of game. For me, it's just the matter of believing that the team is going to do good. It's a long season, I say that too, and I believe we're going to make the playoff, and then we all know that in playoffs everything changes. You have two games to keep going forward.
It's a tough stretch of games coming up. What would you consider to be a good haul from these next three road games?
Well, of course, we play at home the beginning of the season and we lost, and we need to look away while we lost at home. So that's our mentality. The next game, we are trying to, of course, go play and show that we are getting better, that the way we play here, and I'm pretty sure we're going to get more points along the way.
So that was Freddie Montero, and before that, Carl Robinson talking about yesterday's game. A 2-1 loss to the Portland Timbers. Now, guys, we talked about it before we heard the audio. Carl Robinson talking about happy with the performance. Obviously, he mentioned he's disappointed with the result. You can't win every game. But, Jay, you had a tweet like after you heard. Like, I think Michael tweeted that out, and then you responded to that. You had a kind of an issue with that, not for this game in particular, but overall for that sentiment.
Yeah, you know, and maybe this was just a little bit of sour grapes after losing a important derby match.
But, and it was right after the game,
yeah,
too.
But one of the quotes that he said was, if you don't take your chances, it comes back to bite you on the backside. And it's one of those tidbits he throws out a lot. And it kind of bothers me just because that's the common thing that he and many coaches, but he goes back to often, is that, well, you know, just unlucky us. We're not taking our chances, and therefore, you know, we don't get the goal. Goals change games, fine lines. Well, if that keeps happening over and over, if you're playing well, if you're playing up to, you know, what you think is a good performance, but you're not getting the results, maybe it means that your players or your tactics aren't good enough. And I think that's something that we saw. Listen, Portland is quite rightfully one of the best teams in the league. They have tons of dynamic players. We saw that. Nagby with that fantastic goal. Valeri, he's always creating chances. Beautiful cross for that goal. Chara and Guzman, great. Chara is one of the best in the league as a defensive midfielder. And the Whitecaps aren't there. We don't have that as many players as they do who are as dynamic and as much can influence a game as well as Portland does.
And
that's what happens. So then
they were missing Addy.
And they were missing Addy.
Yeah, yeah. And so then you guess what? You're not taking your chances because your players aren't as good. But there's no shame in saying that. Portland is a better team than us, and that's kind of what we saw.
Portland had, I think, one free kick in the second half in front of the supporter section, and so the Caps on Tour gathered there, of course, broke into, you know, who are you, and we sometimes joke like this over, you know, when we're BC place at home games, I'll sometimes answer that, and so I let them finish, and then I was just like, his name is Diego Valeri, and then a couple people chuckled, and then I was just like, he's what you call a designated player.
He's quite good.
Yeah. I should have said he's what you call a difference maker.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, we talk about this every week, and I don't want to beat a dead horse. I don't know if that's a bad saying. I don't want to keep on beating the same drum. But if people want to talk about the makeup of the squad, if people want to talk about we don't have the quality that other teams have, that all comes down to the designated players. And nothing against our current designated players, but two of them should be TAM players.
And that's okay. That's okay. If that's what the team wants to put out, if that's what the ownership wants and the front office wants, that's fine. But then we can't really have high expectations going into Portland against a team that's been on form so far this year and has one of the best teams in the league. Set your expectations a little lower. So was the performance good? Yeah, it was pretty good. Don't expect that if you perform well against one of the best teams in the league away that you're going to get a result all the time, because we're not as good as them.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
But I think I think though, when people say this, they often direct it at Carl Robinson. And to me, you need to direct the responsibility where it belongs, which is on the football committee, which includes ownership. I also want to say this. We were talking about this off air. I really think that the games in the last 2 weeks really show how for the squad we have, for who we have here, we really need. And this might sound like, oh, this could be of any team, but I think more so than other teams in this league, we need the decisive moments to go our way. We need a deuce to hit to the crossbar and the post, and David Osted to make two or three huge saves, and we need, like in the Seattle game, we need to take those two chances or two half chances that come our way. Otherwise, we don't have a chance of getting points
against the top teams for sure.
Philadelphia, Toronto, some bad example.
They played.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't play that well. But yes, you're right. Against quality opposition or teams that are playing very well, we do, because we don't have those dynamic game changers that
I would say against virtually everyone in MLS right now.
Now, one of the better players that we do have is Cristiano Bolaños, who I thought had a pretty poor first half and allowing basically started the plays that the giveaways that led to the goals. But in the second half was a totally different player. And Michael had a chance to meet up with him and talk to him about his performance in that game. So let's listen to that, and we'll be right back after this interview.
So it's a game which team did well. You must feel that you did enough to get at least a point out of that match.
Yeah, it's like you say, we tried to get 1 point today after the two goals. They got it from our mistakes. So we played really, really good second half, and we created a lot of chances. So I think we are in good direction to play well and to win the games.
The first goal, the ball seemed to be going out for a throw-in, but you decided to keep it in. What was your thinking of that?
I don't see, you know, the video already, but I just, it's a little teams, you know, make his that goal, so the second goal too, so it's nothing to say, it's just the small teams, as a team we have to be better, so, but we play really good football all the game with the ball, so I think this is very positive for us, so we get good confidence. It's nothing to say, you know, to anyone. It's a derby game, so that happens, so in that game we cannot lose that small things because you can lose the game, so, but we are very happy, you know, about the performance.
And the second half, you seemed inspired. It's like you were a different player almost between the first and the second half. Robbo said he spoke to you at halftime. Did you feel yourself that you had a much better second half performance?
Sometimes you try to play easy balls, but you lose, you know, when you try to pass close, and sometimes you try to make assists and the ball is not the right direction. But every time try to at least to make options for the striker, to the midfielders. I'd be afraid to play football, so that's why I get a good result in the second half, because all the time I try to create. I try all the time and I try to do my best, so that's why I get the penalty, because all the time I try to be positive in that way, so yeah.
Robbo said it was a quiet word he had with you. Was it quiet? What you playing today? When he spoke to you at halftime, what game?
I know.
No more upset. Huh? No more. You know, we feel like we play good, but it's like more to be more positive in the last quarter for the game. So, but we have enough time, you know, to be better in that situations. So we have to continue to be better in the training. As a team, I think we have more positive team today than negative. So yeah.
You spoke last week about how well you've been playing in a number 10 role. You come out today and you're on the wing. Were you surprised at all when you?
No, he said to me, but you know, it's not easy when you change every time. You know, I played two games as a number 10, so I feel comfortable there. It's different movements now. Today I play left side, so it's totally different. You know, when you're running, when you press. Everything is different, but it's not easy when you change every game, you know, different positions. But I try to help the team all the time. So.
And it's a tough stretch of road games coming up now. With the points that's already been dropped at home, how important is it to at least get some points from these next three matches?
Yeah, we can win. We can get some points away at home. So we have a lot of players in the squad, so Robbo have to use it, and I think everybody's prepared to play that game. So.
Thanks so much, Paul. Cheers.
So that was Christian Bolognes talking about his thoughts on the game. Now, we are running late, so we're just going to let you guys stew on that. We're going to talk about it after the break. You're listening to 101.9 CITR Radio. This is the AFTN Soccer Show.
There's only one way that old clunker is going to make you feel good again. Donate it to Bullying Canada. Check this out. Free towing or pickup of your old vehicle, a tax-deductible receipt, and a super easy process. Online at bullyingcanada.ca. Get rid of that old vehicle and feel good about supporting real solutions for change in your community. Donate your old or used vehicle to Bullying Canada today. Full details online at bullyingcanada.ca.
Without the help and support of our friends, we here at CITR wouldn't be able to bring you all the great music, art, cinema, and culture that you love. Thanks to the long-standing support from the Rio Theatre, we are able to keep you informed on all the great artists, films, and everything else coming to town there. For all the current information about who and what's playing at the Rio Theatre, visit their website at www.riotheatre.ca. In today's political landscape, more fires are raging out of control than ever before. Will you help put these fires out by registering to vote in BC's 2017 general election? You can vote in advance, mail in your vote, vote on the day of election, May 9th, or at any district electoral office. For more information about the process or to see where you can vote, visit elections.bc.ca. How do you listen to CITR? Do you stream it with your data? You could be getting it free on your phone with the already installed FM receiver chip, but major carriers have blocked access to it. If you want access to all your favorite CITR goodness on your phone, get involved. Visit freeradioonmyphone.ca to see how you can get involved by contacting your carrier and signing our petition.
Welcome back to the AFTN Soccer Show, broadcasting from University of British Columbia on the unceded Musqueam Territory. My name is Steve, and before the break, we listened to Cristiano Bolaños talking to Michael and Ian McIntyre of The Sun about what his thoughts were about the game, his defense of the mistakes he made, and the switching from number 10 to the wide position. Jay, you thought he was taking a shot at Carl Robinson, and a few other people agreed with you there.
Wait, did you just call him Cristiano Bolaños?
Cristian Bolaños. Sorry.
He has been good.
I watched the Clásico today, so that's why he's in my
CB7.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't know if taking a shot at Robinson is correct, but it could be a lost in translation thing. Obviously, Bolaños doesn't have a perfect command of English, but it was a little bit juicy there when he said that, you know, it's difficult that he wasn't surprised, but that he's played two games in the middle and then is being pushed out to the wing, and that it's hard because you get used to playing in the middle and then all of a sudden your assignments change and the runs you have to make are different and the times that you press are different. And I think that's a good point. I think it's something to keep an eye on, but truthfully, my gut feeling is that was just Bolaños being totally honest and maybe not as tactful as he might have liked to be, but that he was just being really honest, that it's difficult. It takes some time to transition when you've been playing for a few games in the middle of the park and then you get, you know, pushed out to the wing again. But you know, what I do think is true is that he's a class professional. He's got tons of experience, and he's easily probably the best player on our team. Robinson should be able to rely on him to play a couple different positions.
Oh, totally. I don't hear a shot in there. I hear a person just speaking honestly and frankly. I don't think he's complaining. And I think you heard in the comment we heard in the comments previously from Robbo saying, we have to have Bola on the pitch. So even though we're doing a formation change for this match, we're looking to get an away result. We need him on the pitch to be at our best. To me, all he was making was a statement of fact, not a statement of like, oh, I can't believe I'm being asked to play all these different positions with different runs. I don't think that's how comes across to me.
I think the way you're saying that we need him to be at the best, and that showed on the pitch too, because when he came out in the second half, he earned the penalty. He made some other great plays too.
And tried to earn a second penalty.
Yeah.
I hope Disco is
no,
not.
But the thing is, but he never complained. He never asked. He never put his hands up complaining to the ref for the penalty. He just got up and went about his business. He did get hit in the back by Powell on that play too.
True. But I think he was looking for.
Yeah, I don't think Disco would look at it unless it results in a penalty that affects the outcome of the game. So, even if it was some embellishment there, so I don't think we have anything to worry about.
Now, were there any other players that impressed you in the match? That you really like took it to another level, or were everybody just solid throughout the whole match? And because I didn't find anybody that really disappointed either. There was no like. There's individual mistakes and here and there, but there was nobody that played a horrible game at all.
Anytime as, you know, I thought they defended fairly well. I thought Tim Parker did well. I thought Laba did excellently. He was pretty solid throughout the game.
Tim Parker seems to be a name that's called every week now.
He is.
It's almost like a...
And like we said last week, he may be the best defender on this club right now.
Yeah. There was one play when the Portland broke out. I think there were it was a four corner. And Portland had numbers. But Parker, and not only Parker, but Watson actually just tracked back and got in position really well. Mm-hmm. Or else it could have easily been 3-1 at that point and put the game away.
I do think that it's tough to hail Watson as having a great game when he's
not directly, a great game, but he had moments.
He was directly involved in both goals, kind of. It was his marker. He was the closest to Maddox on the goal, although it was a perfect cross.
And, yeah.
He came out.
It wasn't Nagby. He came out to help.
To help. But yeah, when Nagby had already beaten a couple of players and their jock straps were all over the field. So
in the stands.
He came out to help and needs to try and push Nagby, to have a worse angle of the shot. So it's tough to say that he had a great game. But, I of guys who did well, I thought Laba did quite well in the middle of the park. Tim Parker, I thought, did well as well. And as I mentioned earlier, Montero, I thought when he was able to get on the ball, he provided quality.
Yeah, it's Tim Parker, I think, is having a good season. And I know, I think for teams who play against us, I think they're always going to have their, as much as possible, their quick, pacey, good with the ball at their feet, good at going around people, try and go against Kendall because he's the taller of our maybe a slower Tim Parker's one of our fastest players. Yeah.
But Waston's not good with balls at his feet.
So they're always gonna have that guy. They're always gonna try and have that kind of player go at them, which they did with Darren, which they did with Nagby in some ways as well. I thought Tim played okay. I think Bola's second half was good.
I do think one of the things to watch that's starting to emerge this season is a bit of a regression by Harvey on that goal. It was a well-worked goal, the second goal, but he was fleeced pretty bad by Valeri on that one as well, and Valeri had lots of space to place that cross.
They seem to be attacking the left side of the Whitecaps.
So does that tell you something?
That they know something.
Which is... a change from last year. Right? Yeah. It seemed like last year
they were attacking. Everyone was attacking the other side,
whether it was Aird or Jordan Smith.
So that tells you Chaney Williams. They are respecting his defensive play and now going after the weaker Harvey, whereas Harvey was considered the stronger one last year.
Yeah, so I think that's something to keep an eye on. I mean, it was like you said, more individual moments that they kind of had a couple poor moments rather than an entire bad game, but. For sure, I think it's something that we need to watch whether it develops further.
Yeah, I want to read a couple of tweets from LWO04 on Twitter. Jay Humphreys, his reflections on the game were, I thought the Caps looked the best they have all season, save for costly turnovers. Still missing swingman in mid. AJ played it well, but case of too many similar tools. With Tony Chani beside him, for me, McKendry needs a look in that formation in place of either one of them.
Oh, definitely, and I agree with that. But also talking about that, we'll get to a point we were talking about before we came on. You had Chani and Jacobson as your two guys high in that inverted triangle. Wouldn't it have been a little bit better maybe having a more dynamic player like a Mesquita? I'm not saying Mesquita is like a great dynamic player. But a more dynamic player than those guys. Or maybe even put Bolaños in that position or somebody else.
Yeah, I know you're setting me up for the softball here, Steve, because I've been harping on this point for years now, is that, if you have the 4-2-3-1, the 4-1-4-1, whatever formation you want to call it, you have a midfield three, you have three players in the midfield there. If you invert that triangle and you have the single true D mid and then two players more advanced of that, ideally you want those two players to be, which is what finally happened, ideally you want those two players to be a little bit more dynamic. Now, Mesquita is not that slide rule pass, critical game-breaking type of player, but he's the perfect type of player for that type of system. Bolaños, another one, as we know how well he can influence. If you were to play a game with either, you know, Laba or whoever you'd like as your defensive midfielder, and then have two guys like Mosquito and Bolaños or Reyna when he comes back fit. I think you would have a completely different style of play through the midfield that would be much more effective when it comes to creating chances and creating goals.
Yeah, because I feel like the Timbers really didn't respect either one of those guys. And I saw a couple times when Diego Chara, who is their holding midfielder, move up and pressure Laba, who was, whether that's what they were doing or not, the people on the TV were saying that the Whitecaps were trying to run the offense or run the attack through Laba up the field, which I don't think he's the right player to do that. But I don't think, like you said, with two players like that, they're thinking, okay, the central defenders can handle those guys. Let's push forward and try to create some more turnovers.
Well, I think that's why the play was going through Laba, was because those two more advanced players were not effective, whether that's because of their own limitations or whether that's because that's what that Portland defended them well. So now you have the game all going through Laba, and you know that's not really who you want to be pulling the strings in midfield.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Wow. Quick answer.
Yeah. No, I agree with what you guys are saying. We're not dynamic enough in the middle of the park. That's the bottom of the line, and that's nothing against those three guys: Rusty, Ben McKendry. No, we're just not dynamic enough, and we've said it all season. Everyone can't wait for Jordy Reyna. But, yeah. And again, it's in one of the tweets from, you know, I think Whitecap Scarf, who people are questioning his or her identity. They want to know when he's going to let people know who he really is or she really is.
Why? Let him be who he is.
Yeah, true. Let him be the scarf that he is. Yeah. But, no, is the fact that our needs are things, the holes in the squad are another number nine, especially with all the injuries. And a number 10.
Yeah, and another thing that was brought up about the substitutions. There was no substitutions until the 74th minute. And then that was almost like a like-for-like sub when they took off Teixeira and brought on Davies at that point. And then on top of that, and they finally didn't make that. Like, everybody was clamoring for either Jacobson or Chani to come on. You wanted Chani. Mostly to come off, but they made that change and brought in an attacker, and then Greg came on even after that. Do you feel that was a little bit too late, or do you think Robbo was trying to get that get into a draw and then keep those holding midfielders on there to preserve that draw and get that point?
They were playing well. That's the thing. So it's tough to be really critical when at the time the Whitecaps had the game. Other than the scoreline, had the game by the scruff of the neck. There, they really controlled the second half. So it's tough to say. Well, we're going to bring off one of these players, now in hindsight, they didn't get that second goal. So should they have brought in someone who's a little, you know, more likely to create a second goal a little bit earlier, whether that be a Davies or a Mosquito or a Kyle Gregg? Maybe that should have come a little bit earlier, but. It is tough to be critical when, at the time, they were still creating chances and doing fairly well.
But I think it is a bit of a fair criticism, because in the ground it felt like we in the 88th minute for Kyle Gregg. I know again he's lacking MLS experience and all that kind of stuff.
He's getting votes for one of the most attractive Whitecaps on the pitch on Twitter.
No, Joe Deasy.
Was it just one person?
Joe Deasy was just asking.
Oh, okay.
Is Kyle Gregg?
I think it was implied. It was implied. He thinks he's probably.
He's trying to get support for that.
How can you read the tone into the tweet like that? I think he was asking the question. All I care about Kyle Gregg is that I can't wait for him to catch on fire so we can sing for him.
Yeah.
But no, I think it's a fair criticism, especially with the second substitution. It was, I think, the 88th minute or whatever.
No, the second substitution was in the 77th or 78th.
No, the
minute.
First one was 77th.
No, the first one was 74.
First one was 74, right?
Yeah.
70. Okay. So, Kyle Gregg didn't come on to the 88th.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
and then when he came on, at that point, for some reason, they couldn't get the ball into the box to take advantage of his height at that point. Yeah. It was just like constantly whoever it was from the left side getting it to the right side and then getting back to the left. They couldn't get it into the box.
Some credit goes to Portland there. They finally, in the second half, started to put their foot on the ball and slow the game down.
Yeah.
And the ref was calling lots of ticky-tack stuff at that point. And the game was really slowing down, so it was tough for the team. But you're right. You got to give a guy like Kyle Gregg a little more opportunity. You got to give him enough time to at least get one chance. And I don't think he had that, really.
You lumberjack lover.
So just to, you know, sum up this game now, overall thoughts, just the final thoughts on this game. Are you guys kind of feeling more at ease with the team based on the performance and the fact that we know that we're still going to get players back in eventually in the summertime, and then maybe we can, if we can hold on and play this stretch out and kind of get back to it?
No, I mean, and this is probably me more wearing a supporter hat than anything. No, I'm not okay that we dropped points in a Cascadia Cup match. We've now gone to second in the Cascadia Cup standings, I believe, on goal difference.
Very early in the season.
Very early. It's an embryonic table of embryonic tables. We should have got something from this game. Like, we...
Based on the performance.
Based on the performance, based on...
Because I think they even outshot the Timbers in this game.
I think they had 16 shots.
Yeah.
The Timbers, I believe it was 11. Yeah. So, yeah,
and you even outshot, got them on most, four of them on target, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I, we really should have got something from this game. Obviously, we all want to win, but we should have definitely at least got a point out of this game. So it's disappointing in that sense. The performance was there. There's some positives to take from it. Sure. Do I feel better about the team? It's one game. So we have three more road games. So let's, you know, we got to talk about that, I think, at the end of the road trip. I think we got to talk about that maybe more at the end of the month of May and see kind of where things are at.
Yeah, I mean, 0 points is tough to really be super happy about. But what I will say is I was happy from Robinson that he came up with a plan that seemed to actually work and that the team performed as he asked them to, I believe. Maybe some question marks about the subs, but generally speaking, the approach to the game was a much more positive one than in weeks before. So,
yeah. So 0 points from Lower Cascadia, but hopes for the future. We're going to come back after these messages and talk about some other news in Whitecaps land and around soccer. So you're listening to AFTN Soccer Show on CITR Radio. We'll be right back.
Supporting local music for over 30 years. Thanks to the long-term support of the Rickshaw Theater, Discorder lives. Your favorite bands are playing at the Rickshaw Theater. Check out their calendar just behind the cover of Discorder magazine or at rickshawtheater.com.
May 5th, Doxa Documentary Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM, along with Discorder Magazine, present Rumble, the Indians who rocked the world. Featuring music icons Charlie Patton, Mildred Bailey, Link Wray, Jimi Hendrix, Jesse Ed Davis, Buffy St. Marie, Robbie Robertson, and others, Rumble shows how these talented Native musicians help shape the soundtracks of our lives. That's May 5th at Van City Theater. For more information and showtimes, visit doxafestival.ca.
Last night, I left the bar. I was thirsty, and I don't drink wine. I was desperate. I needed blood. I turned to the only place I could. The only place that could possibly help me.
Hello, Canadian Blood Services.
Hello. I need some blood. A. Positive or negative, it doesn't matter.
I'm sorry, we're all out of A positive and negative. Would you like some O instead?
No. No, that won't do. Thank you. Good night. Save me. Save yourself. Give blood. Voluntarily.
This message was brought to you courtesy of the Canadian Blood Services and CITR Radio 101.9 FM.
Welcome back to the AFTN Soccer Show, broadcasting live from the University of British Columbia on the unceded Musqueam territory. So guys, some other news in Whitecaps land. One of the things that really didn't really pertain to the game itself, Robbo was talking about new additions. Michael asked him about any new additions, any news of what's coming up. Is there anything to look forward to? So I'm really going to play that clip quickly right here. It's only like less than 30 seconds, and then we'll come back and discuss that.
Any idea when we might see any new faces in the squad?
No, we're still working on a daily basis. We're hoping, we're looking at all possibilities, but we won't rush. We said we've got a good group here. We've got a couple of guys back in maybe 3 or 4 weeks. So with this difficult stretch, it's easy to press, the panic button or whatever in signings. We're not going to do that. A couple of weeks and we'll see 3-4 players back, which is important. I don't want to stockpile because I'm not a stockpiler. I want to keep these young players having opportunities.
So that's Carl Robinson talking about new additions. Now, does that sound like that he's not going to bring anybody in, or he's just mentioning that he doesn't want to bring in like a ton of players or anything like that?
No, I don't think this is any different from what he said before. I know there's been some outcry about this, and we got some tweets about this, obviously asking about this. He's not saying we're not bringing in players. He's saying he's following what he has always said about, I don't want to block pathways for players. So I'm not going to – we have a couple injuries. I'm not going to bring in players just to replace the guys who are injured short term, is how I interpret what he's saying. I think they're still looking. I think they're still looking for Bobby Leonarduzzi hasn't told us he's looking, not stopped looking for a striker.
Yeah.
So we should believe that he's
and
probably
it's the
still,
first week of May, I think, of the still.
May 8th, I think, is the date. So I think they're looking for a striker. Some people have talked, of course, about center back depth, replacement for Edgar, whatever, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or another third or fourth option. They're looking. I think he's not like necessarily going to replace Eric Hurtado in where he is at in the depth chart. I don't think they're going to
The players he's talking about coming back from injury, are none of them are strikers that can play a backup role to Montero that could possibly start on a regular basis and you feel comfortable starting. So I think that's the one spot that is open.
Yeah.
All the other spots, when people come back injured, like the Yordi Reyna as the number 10, Breck Shea is another winger.
Is there an update on Breck Shea?
Not really.
I thought he was doing jogging and stuff, and I was like,
it might have been light jogging.
Yeah, I think the tweet was that he, Levis, and one other player were jogging, but that Jordi Reyna was not, that he's still in a walking boot, so that Reyna is still quite a long way away.
Jordi Reyna against the Sounders was in a walking boot. Then that's just a week ago, so I don't think that's going to come off too quick.
Brett, I'm pretty sure, is not going to be match fit until July, from what I've heard. Also, one other small note from this weekend's match is, we're in the stadium and the keepers are the first to come out. And so Spencer Ritchie came out and so my first thoughts were like, is Paulo starting or is Paulo not on the bench? We got word later that Paulo actually just had a little niggle in training this week. And I think sat out a training session, but was in full training by the end of the week, but they decided just to put Spencer Ritchie on the bench just in case today or yesterday.
Yeah. Back to Steve's original point, I do think that the obvious choice is going to be a striker. They still need a second striker because they really don't have one at this point. Breck Shea is not the answer even if he was healthy. Jordi Reyna is a long way away and has been earmarked to be placed as number 10. And realistically at this point, they don't have the cap space to go out and really get an impactful number 10 or something like that anyway. So I think the best we can hope for at this point is to get a quality backup striker that could be used in a different formation, maybe to play alongside Montero, and if something else falls across their lap, they'll take it for a depth position or an option, but that's really what they're looking for.
Now, I'm not spreading any rumors or anything. This is just like speculation on my point. I think Atiba Hutchinson's Turkish team, Besiktas or whatever.
Besiktas.
They were eliminated, I think, from the Europa Cup.
So harshly on PKs.
Yeah,
so
but the fact is that maybe there is a chance. I don't think there is, but maybe there's a chance. Maybe that's what they were waiting for to see if he got eliminated, because I don't know where they are in the table.
No.
Still the summertime if he comes over?
He's not coming.
You never know.
No.
There's been too much talk to think that he can't say he's not coming. Oh. There's too much smoke, basically.
Oh. Do certain people want him here? I think so.
Yeah.
But I don't think he's coming.
I think that a lot of that was predicated on the fact that the league stated that they're willing to pay transfer money for Canadian internationals as well as American. And then
when they found out how much it was?
Yes, when the negotiations started to come and they said, oh, well, Beşiktaş is going to want $5-6 million.
I don't see them asking that much. That seems like a lot for a 30.
For the octopus?
3-year-old or something?
He seems to be well liked there.
Oh, really?
So, okay. And he is relied upon quite a lot on that. And they're negotiating from a position of strength. So why wouldn't they ask for $5 million? And really, in European dollars, $5 million is not a whole ton of cash for an impactful player. So and when that came down and the league probably said, well, we're not paying that. We'll pay $1 million. You got to pay the rest. And then I think the rest is history. So.
No chance.
Another piece of news.
At that point.
Another piece of news that hit on it wasn't a Whitecaps player. It was a former Whitecaps player. It was a tweet. I think it was Saturday it came out.
Saturday morning.
Yeah,
Hashtag Saturday morning.
Saturday morning. It was from Kakuta Mane. Basically, and I'm paraphrasing here because I don't have the tweet in front of me.
What he said was...
It's probably ingrained in your memory
all
right
he said, from what I remember, all it said was, rock bottom, hashtag Saturday morning.
Yeah, and essentially, you see the tag.
Yeah, it was geotagged
in Ohio. Ohio, yeah. And I think Columbus was in New York at that point.
New Jersey, to be fair.
Oh, New Jersey, sure. Harrison.
Yeah, interesting, and especially on the heels of Greg Berhalter calling into question his fitness levels or his dedication to fitness, what have you.
He quickly deleted the tweet.
He did, and he came out and made a statement shortly thereafter about he tried to clarify later that the tweet was only in reference to having a tough day at a really hard training session.
Yeah, so there Nathan Vanstone got a hold of him and said, delete the tweet.
Yeah.
And you got to tweet something else because this is not good.
It certainly doesn't pass the smell test. That certainly has the appearance that there is some sort of a bit of a blockade between he and Greg Berhalter right now, and the staff in Columbus, and whether or not he's becoming a part of that club's plans in the immediate future is kind of up for question.
So no one has talked about – I haven't heard anyone talk about this being an issue with – in relation to his previous injuries, which I think a number of people – I've heard a number of people, I think we've talked about even a little bit here, are concerned that those will cause him issues again in the future. All that's been talked about is, like you said, the Berhalter quality not being match fit, which like
– Do you think it has to do with his ankle?
No, I'm not. No, I'm saying no one has said that. So let's assume that it's not.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, if he's not match fit, like he was playing when he was here, or he was playing a little bit when he was here. I know he got benched a little bit, or he was a substitute.
Well against San Jose, he didn't. Obviously, there was an issue with match fitness if he couldn't play defense. Maybe that was the reason he couldn't play defense because he couldn't get back.
But so that makes you ask the question: does Columbus have higher standards for match fitness than? We do,
or Vancouver's more desperate to play him because they had nobody else. Well, and now, once they saw Alphonso Davies playing at this level, that they could afford to bench him.
Here's why that's an issue. I think is because Vancouver was playing a lot of players that weren't match fit, including Montero was playing when he wasn't match fit. Apparently, Tony Chani has been playing while he's not been match fit.
Just hadn't played games.
Okay. All I'm saying is that throughout the season so far, especially early, there's been a lot of players who were struggling to get into proper form. Part of that's normal beginning of season. Why it's concerning is because this was the same issue we had last year with a number of players who came into camp and were not ready to start the season.
Mane last year was coming off an ankle injury, a serious one against Portland.
And they have had bad luck with that. They've had a ton of injuries already this season that they can't have expected, but it is becoming a bit of a trend.
And not a very concerning one. Like a very, very
concerning one?
A very concerning one. Like it's – okay, this season, the only player that's been talked about – that came in not in ideal condition was Bola. Other than that, I don't think I've seen or heard anything to indicate it otherwise. But yeah, with players, I think most of our injuries this year, though, aren't related to fitness, really, right? When you look what happened to Shea, was how he went into the tackle, right? Like, he went in, he opened up his foot, and the other guy went in harder. The was the metatarsal for Rayden, Jordy, right?
Yeah. And you called that on the live show too that time.
Yeah, and Eric got hit by the or the keeper. You know, like those are not fitness related. I would say.
The point I'm making though is that if you're still playing, because even when he came, when Tony Chani had not played any yet, and he wasn't match fit, and Montero, who hadn't played and was not match fit, when those players come in and are still getting major minutes on your team, whether it be 45 minutes or not, maybe that says something about the rest of your team who is supposed to be match fit.
I think that more is about the quality. And to be fair, Tony didn't start his first game. Tony came on as a substitute in his first game and did training post-match with the rest of the guys
who didn't
go the full 90. So he hasn't been – he was thrown in and yeah. So, and I don't think everyone else has been thrown in either. I think they've paced people this year pretty well.
So that's enough of that. We traded him. It was interesting to see that tweet.
It's interesting because people from Vancouver and social media and other podcasts
are wondering.
I basically said, Columbus, you got screwed. You got an injured player.
Yeah.
And it's not. I'm not saying it's injury, but. It's
totally plausible that it is.
Yeah. Though. And so if you're Columbus, regardless of if Tony Chani has done anything for us, you lost $300,000 in allocation.
Yeah.
So you must be extremely frustrated.
I personally don't think it would be ankle. Like, I don't know about how MLS works, but if somebody comes with an injury on a trade, that trade gets usually revoked. Teams can usually say, no, we don't want this guy now because he's injured. I think it has mostly to do with fitness. I think fitness is the big issue. I think like I said before, Robbo needed him to be on the pitch, whether to sell tickets or because he didn't know if he had other options. And then when Alphonso Davies impressed, I think then he saw maybe I don't need him and I put him on the bench. And then maybe that led to the trade at that point. So enough of Kakuta Manning. He's traded, like I said. He's out of our hair for now. Except if he gets re-signed, we get a first rounder. Yes, if he gets sold off, we get money for that.
So maybe
we want him to get better.
Yes. No, but maybe we want him to get better so he gets re-signed. Is that better than him going to Europe right away? I
don't know. It depends on if you want a draft pick or you want to. It's gonna be Columbus is doing really well. I think it's gonna be a late pick anyways.
Regardless, I think we can all say we hope that Kakuta doesn't feel like he's on rock bottom for much longer.
Yes. Well, for the club, for the benefits of the club, but also for the player, because he seemed to be a genuine guy that you got to hope for the best for.
Except when Columbus comes here in September. Then he can be...
I hope he scores three in a 4-3 loss.
Okay.
Now, Columbus coming here, Vancouver won't be coming here for still a little while. Next week, they're going to Montreal, facing another rival. In especially over the years, a Canadian rival. This just seems like they're playing everybody right now to start off the season.
Back,
TFC.
Back to back, yeah.
Well, no, TFC, then they played in Salt Lake, our weather rival. And then basically now Seattle, Portland, and Montreal. So they're hitting everybody at once this year.
Does Montreal have any difference makers?
I think they have a few.
there's at least one.
The young kid seems pretty good. Tabla.
Oh, the Canadian, yeah.
Yeah, Canadian. I'm not sure if he
Jackson
wants to play.
Jackson Hamels has popped in a couple, three goals.
He's been rumored to be going on loan, and then he did, and then he pulled off that.
Yeah. And then, so what do you guys think about that match going forward? How do we match up against them? They came back and beat Philadelphia.
Who's awful.
Yeah. But they still, and we drew them, so yes. It was us at home.
We were awful that day.
Yeah. So basically.
Or we weren't good. We're not. Great, are they?
So what do you guys think about Montreal and what our chances there are? I honestly thought that this was I thought they could maybe surprise and get a surprise victory in Montreal based on you never know when we play each other.
Yeah.
You never know who's going to win it.
Before we talk maybe about the result, how do you think we're going to go out in that match? Like, do you think we're going to go out with another?
Oh, actually, Jay's corrected me, they came back and drew.
Yeah.
Philadelphia did come out big.
They were down 0-3, though.
Yeah.
And came back and scored three goals for the draw.
But it's, Philadelphia is awful.
Yeah.
So how do you think we're going to go into that game? Are we going to go in with trying something? Our last two away matches, we've been trying something other than what we play at home.
Yeah.
We tried a 3-5-2. We tried a 4-3-3 or 4-1-4-1.
Yeah.
So that's going to be – I'm looking forward to seeing how we lay out our stall for that game. It's an away match, so I expect them to be focused on defending, keeping a clean sheet, and trying to take some chances on the counter.
Yeah, I think they're going to probably revert back to the tried and tested 4-2-3-1 with two holding midfielders and probably Bolaños moving back centrally. I think the Davies to the bench was just looked like he was getting tuckered out a little bit. He's been playing a lot of soccer. He's still a young kid. Probably just give him some time to sit on the bench. I think you'll see Davies come back in to the starting lineup in Montreal. And I think another one of the big keys that is going to be really interesting is that Ignacio Piatti seems to be back on form. And so talking
about... But he's not going to be going up against Fraser Aird.
Talking about, yeah, Jordan Harvey, who has been, I think, everything that Montreal does goes through Piatti, and he starts on the left. It'll be a real good test for Williams, assuming he starts.
Do you think they switch Piatti to the right side?
That'll be interesting to see, but I doubt it.
No?
Based on what I've seen from Montreal,
I don't think they're with Piatti. I don't think they're concerned who he goes up against. They're going to go after anybody, right?
I think it'll be a great challenge for Williams, and I think his season's kind of like been on an upward trajectory, the whole time. So hopefully, it keeps going.
Yeah, I think they can. I still feel like they can. This is a chance to get some points. Although, now that the way today went, and Minnesota beat Colorado. Which was surprising. 1-0.
They're ahead of us on the table.
Yeah,
now.
I know. Colorado could be for the taking the week after too. So I think if the Whitecaps play the way they played against Portland and get a little bit more luck and cut down obviously on the mistakes, which seems obvious, and I'm going to make another one and score more goals than the other team, they can definitely pick up some points in these next two games.
We have had success in Montreal in the past.
Yeah.
Whether it be draw, I think what was it, 2-2 draw last year. In the Voyagers Cup, and then even what a couple years back, who shall not be named, Camilo,
3-0 baby,
who dominated that game, which I was lucky to be at that match.
That was beautiful.
It was a fantastic day. So we've had some success there.
Oh, for sure.
Colorado, looking a little more, we have had much less success there. It's always a tough place to play. You're right. I think this is the match that you want to go out.
I don't know if Tim Howard's back by then, too. I'm not sure. I think he might have.
Did he get a three-match ban?
Yeah, three-match ban. So I don't know if he'll be back by Vancouver.
No, that would be his third.
Yeah, that'd be his third. So that'll be his first game back. Yeah.
I wonder if he's going to appeal he won't be back. That. And
this week was his first. This next week is his second.
Oh, whatever. Yeah.
I think
we'll figure that out.
For sure, though, the Whitecaps have to prioritize this game. As we mentioned before, they need to try and pick up some points here so that once they start getting healthy, bring in another striker, hopefully get Jordy Reyna healthy, get Brett Levis back in to to help out on the left side. They're going to need to pick up some points. This is one that you have to put your eye on and say, here's a match that they should at least be hoping for 1 point in.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Montreal, we need to get something from that match. I think again, like I did with Portland away, there's a chance for us to take all three. But a point away would not be.
And it is a rival game. I don't know if I would call it a derby game, but it certainly is a rival.
I wouldn't call it a derby game. No, I would call it a derby, though.
A derby, of course you would, because you're soccer hipster.
I just give you.
But it is a rival game, and those do have a little bit different. It being away doesn't seem to matter as much against a team like Montreal, against a team like Portland, against a team like Seattle. So I think it's going to be an interesting match for sure.
Then going into Colorado, for those who don't know what we're talking about with Tim Howard, if you don't know, you should Google, look it up. But basically what happened was Colorado was playing away to Kansas City. The fans, who in Kansas City's nice little stadium there, are kind of right on top of you, were expressing their displeasure, expressing themselves towards Tim Howard, as is normal in the whole footballing world. Tim Howard expressed himself back to them, and then apparently
he crossed the line.
Well, then, and then apparently they had an altercation. He had a bit of an altercation at the end of the game or whatever. So he got a three-game ban.
Yeah.
And then the players' union came out and said, "This is Sporting's
problem because they didn't control
said,
the
this
crowd.
This is MLS's problem. Poor security, fans not following the fan code of conduct, which." Yeah, sometimes I think they think this is like, games for kindergartens or something. But, like, things are going to be said. Like, it's a sport. I don't know. It's a sporting. I'm condoning it. I'm not saying that should happen. But that's the reality.
Here's my question. Where has Tim Howard played before?
England.
Yes. He's heard much worse.
Do you think he's heard similar things in his playing days?
I don't think Tim Howard should have reacted the way he did necessarily. I don't think these fans necessarily did anything horrible. I just think the whole situation is kind of interesting. Plus, we have had, to bring it home, we have had some people at BC Place who have used colorful language and been kicked out.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit crazy because if you do that, you think the stadium's empty now.
Yeah.
The stadium's going to...
There's plenty of blame to go around in this one, and I think Tim Howard deserves plenty of it, and likely so do the security apparatuses that are in place.
Security force.
Yeah, because a fan should never be able to directly engage with a player.
I haven't seen any. I saw the video clip.
I don't know.
I saw the video clip of them having a go when he was like. At his post, which is fine. Yeah,
They should
But it's also fine for him to give it back.
Absolutely.
I mean, if you talk about history of football here in Vancouver, right? That was one of the greatest parts of Swangard Stadium. For some people, that was the greatest part of Swangard Stadium is you were right on top and you could everything you said the players could hear.
Yeah.
Whether it was Preston Burpo or Peter Byers or Matt, what was the keeper from Montreal? Matt
Bush?
No, that's the current guy. I forget his name. Matt,
a Romanian goalkeeper.
Matt, whose wife's name is Laurie,
or a certain Romanian goalkeeper that played in the PDL
for the opposing team. Exactly.
Well, yes. I don't want to discuss any more about that.
Exactly. Right. Like that was the thing about football that's great is as supporters you feel whether it's. Only in your only real in your heart or real in reality, you feel like you have an impact on the game. I obviously believe that you do have an impact on the game, and that was one of the tangible ways you could have an impact by getting into the head of the keeper or a defender or whatever.
So the fan did his job in this case.
In one sense, I think. I don't condone it. I don't think that's my personal approach to support. But
you need to stop short of physical violence and racism and
homophobia
and that sort of thing. But beyond that,
Zach is laughing at something else. He's not laughing at homophobia.
No, sorry, I'm not. Sorry, I'm laughing.
Just want to make sure everybody knew that.
Michael just tweeted Matt Jordan and his poor dog Dutch. I can't remember the stuff about his dog. All I remember is. Devin Rowcliffe would just bring...
He was the researcher, basically.
He would do all the research and come to games with... We would be chanting people's phone numbers, all about their family, like who...
For PDL players, he would have the GPA of the player. and we'd be letting him know what his GPA was, and he needs to get better at school and everything like that. So he was definitely the researcher of the group.
And it was awkward because Matt Jordan and his wife had a website, like a family website or something, so... That was mentioned a little bit.
So obviously we were talking about Montreal. We got into this stuff, but quick prediction: what do you guys think what we're going to get against the Montreal Impact? How much impact will we have against them?
I'm going to go with a 2-2 draw.
Oh, I was thinking maybe
I'm going to go 2-2 draw with I think Davies is going to get a goal because I believe in the young man. And I'm going to say Montero keeps his hot form. So those are my side bets.
Hopefully we get at least a draw. I was thinking 2-2 as well, but just to be different, I'll say 2-1 for us. Because I want to be the.
What's your prop bet?
Oh,
give us another bet on the side.
I agree with you on Davies. I'll have Davies, and if Bull is in the middle, I'll say Davies and the Bug.
Okay.
Yeah. With if he's fit. I think he's fit. Mancuso scoring for Impact.
I got I have Impact losing to the Whitecaps 1-0. I think they will get a clean sheet out of this one. I think they'll play very set defensively. And I think the guy who's going to score is going to be Tim Parker. I think Parker scores on a set piece.
He's overdue. Again,
he scored against Montreal in the Cup Final.
I know we're already 20 minutes over as usual, but I do want to point out that that set pieces have been another real dreadful point of late. It happened against Portland. Parker especially.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a big man who can head the ball. He is way overdue for to pop in a goal.
For sure. Okay,
my side bet is that Robbo will be wearing a turtleneck.
Oh. Turtleneck. Wow.
I don't think he's gonna.
I think he's gonna go.
How
Euro.
Cold's it gonna be? In
I don't know.
It's got to be like 8-3 odds or something.
I think it'd be a turtleneck. Thin turtleneck, maybe with a gold chain. Maybe I would lose that bet.
Maybe just a dickie.
Thin gold chain.
you will lose that chain.
Lonely Island.
Actually, if he does have a gold chain, you won't see it. But under the
no, you have to wear it over the turtleneck in order to be cool.
Maybe he'll stop at like Home Hardware on the way and just like get some bird feeder wire or something to hang around.
Oh, I can't remember what I was going to say about Montreal, but Michael did message in just to remind me about.
If he's so concerned about the show, he should be here, not vacationing in Oregon.
He reminded me about Matt Jordan's dog by sending in the tweet just simply hashtag Korean barbecue. Okay, and Matt Jordan, of course, is in. I think he's still like the GM at the Houston Dynamo.
Possibly.
So we go Montreal, then Colorado,
then Houston. The one I'm more concerned about. That's the one we never get anything.
So we'll have another tweet from the Pitt Meadows Maple Ridge region. At Greg Mayer says, out of the three games away coming up, Montreal, Colorado, Houston, how many points would you expect, and how many would be would we be content with?
I would say I would love to get three going. I wanted overall 6 points from these five difficult games that we were talking about in that podcast where we were talking about going forward in the season. Out of these five, I was expecting 6 points, and I'm hopefully we get those 6 points, whether it's three draws or one win and two losses.
I think out of the five games, I wanted nine, right?
You wanted nine, yeah.
Out of nine, so we got three.
Yeah, three so far. So you need Montreal and Colorado.
I need a Montreal win, and then yeah,
Colorado
or Houston.
I think three would be the minimum. You would hope that you can get a win against either Colorado or Montreal. But like we said, it wouldn't shock me to get one, maybe a draw against one of those two teams. Houston's in form right now, one of the best teams in the league, and one of the best in the West. And we don't play well there to begin with, so it's a tough spell here. By the end of this road trip, we could be near or at the bottom of the Western Conference table.
Zach has another tweet.
In terms of the Montreal game, the scarf one to give you some perspective. Parker has two goals in the V's Cup, one in the Champions League, none in MLS. He's overdue for an MLS goal.
Oh, for sure. It has to be Timmy time very soon.
And AFTN, AFTN Canada.
No points.
just wants to remind everyone that he said no points.
Oh, he said no points against Seattle, too.
And then changed it to one. So we're all very optimistic. Hashtag Optimists Union.
So that'll be it for us tonight.
Wait, no Wavelength?
No Wavelength.
Can we sing a dirge together?
No, I don't want to. It's too late. Before we get out of here, remind the listeners where they can find you at online.
You can find me on Twitter at @JAY_Duke and occasionally writing for AFTN Canada.
On Twitter, it's at @ZacharyAM. I'm a part of the movement Curva Collective.
And you can find me at Whitecaps Beat, and obviously you can find Michael when he's here at AFTN Canada. You can find, like Jay said, all our stuff on AFTN.ca. And so again, this will be it for us tonight. Thank you for joining us. And before we go, who wants to do the?
You got to say, take care.
Okay.
Take care, and.
Take care and.
Why do we have to do exactly what he said?
This is exactly why we need Michael here still.
Just to do the end bit. Maybe we could get him to pre-record.
Can we record this? Yeah.
Okay, so take two. Everybody, take care and.
Mon the Caps.
Going to your first match is an experience you never forget. The atmosphere of what's going on around the pitch looks beautiful, and you always look and go, wow, I'd love to play here one day. If you get the bug, it's going to stay with you for life.
Docs the Documentary Film Festival and CITR 101.9 FM, along with Discorder Magazine, present Rumble, the Indians who rocked the world. Featuring music icons Charlie Patton, Mildred Bailey, Link Wray, Jimi Hendrix, Jesse Ed Davis, Buffy St. Marie, Robbie Robertson, and others, Rumble shows how these talented Native musicians help shape the soundtracks of our lives. That's May 5th at Van City Theater. For more information and showtimes, visit doxafestival.ca.
Are you looking for a volunteer opportunity that fits your schedule? Being a big sister takes less time than you think, and you can choose the volunteer opportunity that fits your life. Spend just 1 hour a week as a study buddy, tutor, or 2 hours a week as a big sister. Check out the various mentoring programs at Big Sisters of BC Lower Mainland and find a volunteer position and a little sister that will suit you to a T. Visit bigsisters.bc.ca for more information today.
She'll make a lovely doll after I finish with you.
I told you your webs were useless.